hand of thy neighbor. Go, humble thyself, and importune thy neighbor. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of a fowler. And just one of these references now, chapter 11, verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, but he that hateth suretyship is secure. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, but he that hateth suretyship is secure. All right, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the practical things that thy word does teach us. We would expect to find in the Holy Scriptures things about heaven, about morality, and these things we do find. But we are thankful, our God, that we find practical things, how to live as we go through life as well. We pray that we shall not only be wise as citizens of heaven, but that we shall also, our God, be wise in our behavior on earth. Thou hast told us to have a good report from them that are without. Thou hast told us about our dealings with them, just how we are to behave in the church of God, and how we are to behave ourselves in the presence of those who know not thy Son. So, our Father, we pray that we shall learn from these portions, be enlightened, instructed. We thank you for the blessing of the day. You've given us another day in which to remember your Son, in which to fellowship with thy people, in which to sing hymns and learn thy word. We thank you for that. Thou knowest, our Father, that some in other places in the world are experiencing little periods of freedom, things that they've never had before. We thank you for this. So, our God, as they know what it is to be slaves of communism, and now to taste somewhat the freedom of being allowed to do those things that they were not permitted to, we pray that they might think about being slaves of sin, and what it is to be free from sin and the bondage of Satan. So help those who are in the world, who are in authority, the kings and all that are in high place, our God, to know what to do. Our president and all of his cabinet members, bless them as well. And for us here at the chapel, let us understand our Father, and let us be able to say with Paul, for to me, to live is Christ. Help us to understand that that is why we are here. Thy Son said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. So keep us from evil, and let us do good. And let us lead a tranquil and peaceable life in all godliness and gratitude. And now, Father, prepare our hearts. Cleanse from sin. You promise to do that if we confess. And also, empower lips to speak the truth of God, that it might be understood and enjoyed. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This portion that I've read to you from Proverbs does not tell us how to get to heaven and enjoy the blessings there, but it does tell us how to escape some of the miseries that men so often experience on earth. So often, we think only of heaven and treasures of the future, but it tells us about enjoyment and right living when we're on earth. I'm thankful for portions like this because some people would come to you and place before you responsibilities and burdens, and if you refuse them, they say, I thought you were a Christian. I'm so glad for portions like this that tell me when propositions like the one set before are brought to our attention, we are to refuse them because we're Christians, because we are instructed from the Word of God. Our Lord not only tells us how to get to heaven, but he also tells us how to keep out of the entanglement of debt and of bondage and of burdens that are unnecessary to bear. We are to cast all our care upon the Lord, and so often the cares that we cast upon the Lord are the cares that we did not bring upon ourselves. But in this instance, here is a burden that is never to be borne, and it is not to be cast upon the Lord, but the same person who got you into it yourself is to get yourself out of it. And the first thing the Lord tells us about surety is this: do not be surety for a stranger. But what is so sad in Proverbs 6 is that a man has already become surety for his neighbor. He has stricken his hand for a stranger. He evidently has not read what God tells him about suretyship in the book of Proverbs, or if he has read it, he has not regarded it. And what has happened is this: he has gotten himself into a predicament, and what is he to do next? The Lord says this: try to get out of it. The thing of the greatest importance is getting out of this suretyship that you find yourself in. It says, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. It says, go humble thyself and importune thy neighbor. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Why do we so foolishly say yes to something that is going to involve so much pain and aggravation in days to come? Well, the Lord says this: if you had done it, even though you should not have done it, do everything in your power to get out of it. Such a thing is possible. Sometimes it is not possible. The Lord speaks in a similar vein in the New Testament. Here is what he says. He says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art looking in the way, lest, and then he tells about a process that's going to take place. You have an adversary, you are to agree with him. Do whatever he says, because if you do not, he's going to take you to the judge, and the judge is going to deliver you, and you're going from one step to another, and you'll find yourself in jail, and the Savior says, you're not going to get out until you pay the last bargain. Now, think of this. Today there are so many people that are involving themselves in debt, and the Savior says, I have no sympathy with you. If you do not get out of this debt, if you do not arrange things with your adversary before all of the steps are taken by this man to whom you're indebted, he said, you're going to be cast into prison, and he says, you're not going to come out until you've paid the last farthing. I take that literally, because there are so many people today that are involving themselves in debt, in financial worries and burdens. And what you have to do, and this is the sad thing, if you don't want to go to jail, it says you have to make an agreement. And that agreement may be that you pay interest, high rates of interest, for years and years. Well, if you don't want to do it, then go to jail. But the Savior says, if you go to jail, this mistake that you've made, you are not going to come out of jail, and I'm not going to have any sympathy for you, and I'm not going to get you out of jail until you've paid the last farthing. You say, those are strange words coming from the Savior. No, they're not. On occasion, the Lord could be ever so firm, and it would seem as if he had no mercy. There is mercy, but at the same time, there is a Savior teaching that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. On one occasion, a man came to him and said, Master, he said, did my brother divide the inheritance with me? And the Savior said, man, who made me a divider or a judge over you? Now, what you and I would do would go and be manipulated into saying to this brother, now don't you think, the Savior said, man, who made me a divider or a judge over you? So many times Christians are getting involved in things out of which they should keep themselves. You should not get involved in all of these enmities and all of these arguments and all of these family affairs that take place in the world. We have to stay above these things. Now, on occasion, we have to be umpires. We have to be arbitrators. But the Lord Jesus knows when to say yes and when to say no. And I'm so thankful that on an occasion, the Lord Jesus extricated one of his own who had gotten himself into debt and he couldn't pay it. It was a small debt, but the Lord told him about it. Do you remember when the people that gathered the tax money for the temple came and said, does your master pay the tribute money? And Peter said, of course he does. And so when he came into the house, the Lord said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. The kings of the earth, from whom do they gather tax or toll? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said, why from strangers? The Savior said, then the son free. But you said we're going to pay. Then this is what you do. You take a hook and go cast that hook into the sea. And the first fish that comes up, you open its mouth and take out the money that's therein and go pay the tax for me and for thee. Don't you wish you would do that every time you make a mistake, every time you opened your mouth and spoke too quickly? But he doesn't always do that. He did it one time. And so often, if we get into something, we are not able to get ourselves out. So this is a very practical lesson. It shows you how fervently a man is to remove himself from this thing into which he has gotten himself. And I trust that you will take it to heart. I can tell you this tonight. There is no man to whom I owe one penny in the world. It may be that the water bill is coming due or something of that nature, but there is absolutely nothing that I owe in the world. You say, that's not normal. Praise God. It is a delightful abnormality. And the reason is that I've done without things for years and years and years, and then when God enabled me to get these things, I got those things. But even though I could go to bed and not have abundance of money, this is what I could do. I did not owe money. So this is what the Lord is telling me. But here is someone, and this is remarkable, because at one time in your life, you might have little or nothing, and at another time in your life, you might have more money. And I can remember the first time that I almost was surety for a stranger. I can remember a precise date and where I was and how old I was. I wasn't a Christian then, but I was going into the Navy. I enlisted when I was 17, and I had a week or so, and I was going up to see the sights in Washington, D.C. And I remember riding all night on the train and getting into Washington, D.C. And when I was in the station, I saw one man that was in the Navy. He was a chief petty officer. He was talking to the man at the cashier, and he was going back and forth and back and forth. And I brought all cash that I had with me, and the man was saying, I'm good for this check. Or the man said, I don't know you. I have no information. I'm sorry. I can't cash that check. And I said, how much is that check for? And here, as a fool, I was going to be surety for a stranger. But somehow, I can't remember why the man didn't take advantage of me. Somehow, I got out of it. But think of the folly of that. A young boy, 17 years old. Here was a man that was a stranger, and here was a check, and the man behind the counter had more sense than to cash that check, and I was going to cash the check for him. And so God delivered me on that occasion, but not on all occasions. And so he warns us in the scripture. He tells us in chapter 6 about being surety for strangers. Now, let me tell you why. It's because, as it says in chapter 11, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. What happens is this. It seems at the time, if you are surety for a stranger, let me explain that. It means that you are going to guarantee any debt or obligation this stranger has made, and so in the presence of witnesses, you give your hand to be a surety for this stranger. And the Bible warns us in chapters 6, 11, 17, 20, and 27. 5 times it tells us in the book of Proverbs not to be surety for a stranger. If we are surety for a stranger, try to get out of it. Why? Because you're going to smart for it. What happens is this. It may be that the man that he's trying to get you to go on his note to stand behind him, it may be that he's a charlatan. At the same time, it may be that he is a businessman without any wisdom. I've seen Christians like that so many times. They're making investments, and their investments are falling through. They're well-meaning people. I know if I just had this much money, I can invest it in this business, and we'll become wealthy. Now, if you'll just stand behind me, there are so many Christians that have good intentions. They mean well. And so they ask other Christians to become surety for them. And sometimes that's what happens. And let me tell you about this. If someone who is a Christian is talking about strangers here, but if someone who is a Christian says, lend me money, do this or that for me, what is happening is this. Your friendship is nearing an end. Because if you say no, then he hates you for saying no. And if you say yes and lend him the money, and then he can't pay you back, he hates you for wanting that money that he promised to pay you back. It's a serious thing. More about that in the future. But it says you're going to smart for it. The best thing is to stay out, not to allow people to get into a position to ask you to be surety for them. It takes wisdom from heaven. But if they ever ask you and you say no, unless they have big hearts, then you're going to be on their blacklist for the rest of your life. And that's what Jeremiah says. He says, I haven't loaned anybody any money and I haven't borrowed money from anybody. Why do they hate me? If they want to borrow money and you say no, they hate you. If you lend them money and they can't pay you back, they hate you. And Jeremiah understood that. He said, I haven't loaned money, I haven't borrowed money. Oh Lord, why do they hate me? So here is a down-to-earth teaching of the scripture about becoming surety for a stranger. It says you're going to smart for it. Why? Because everything seems to go wrong and everything seems so simple. What? You need this money? You need this guarantee? How many days is it? Why, yes. Of course, I'll stand behind you. And the first one who was surety in the Bible for a stranger was who? Can anybody remember? Any brother remember? It was Judah who promised to be surety for his brother Benjamin. What had happened was this. When his brothers had gone down into Egypt, and Joseph, unbeknownst to them, is ruler of the land, and Joseph recognizes his brothers, it all works out, in brief, that Simeon is held in bondage until they bring back Benjamin. And so all his brothers go home, and they tell their father what has happened, and they say, now, we have to take Benjamin back, or Simeon is going to be kept in bondage. And his father says, I'm not going to let Benjamin go back. And so finally, all the food that they've gotten from Egypt runs out. And Judah comes to his father. He says, Father, it's a matter of life and death. We must go back. He said, I will do this. He said, I will be surety for Benjamin. And if I do not bring him back and set him before your face, he said, I will be surety, I will be blamed forever. And so what did his father do? It was a matter of life and death. There was nothing to eat. And so his father reluctantly said, take him, and go. Here's a coat on into Egypt, and everything seems to be fine. Here is my younger brother, Benjamin. Now, let my older brother, Simeon, go. Fine, we'll do that. And so they let them go, and Joseph has put his cup into their bag of grain, in Benjamin's bag of grain. And Joseph sends out his soldiers and his attendants, and they start searching, and they look, and they find this cup in Benjamin's bag. And Judah goes almost insane. He says, what am I going to do? I'm surety for this man. But God delivered him. When he went and said, I have promised to be surety for my brother, he said, take my life, keep me in bondage, but let my brother Benjamin go back. My brother Benjamin's life
is bound up in the life of his father, and if he go back empty-handed, he said, it will kill my father. He will die. He will go down to the grave with gray hairs. And Joseph could not contain himself anymore. And he burst out in tears, and he said, I am your brother, Joseph. Now, thank God for an outcome like this. But think, suppose Joseph had not been their brother, and somehow the king's cup had been in the bag of Benjamin. Then, Judah would have been held in bondage forever because he was surety for a stranger. You see how things go wrong? It seems so simple, but everything goes wrong. And while I'm about it, let me tell you about one time when I did go surety for a stranger, but it was for selfish reasons. It was something that happened like this. I had some money on hand, and I was reading years ago that a man was selling Christian books for about a third of the price that you would have to pay for them at a store. And he was opening stores everywhere, and he needed money, big money, to open these stores. As soon as he got enough money, he would open another store. And sure enough, all the catalogs he sent out, a book that should cost $50, he would sell it for $17. And a book that should cost $10, he would sell it for a fraction of the price. I said, this is remarkable. And this man is opening up bookstores, and he's going to sell books for these reasonable prices all over the United States. And he just needs money to open these stores. And in addition to it, I remember putting it in language of the day, he was paying about 14% at that time. This would be about 20 or 30% at this time. He was only just paying 4% interest. And so I took this money that I had laid by, and I sent it to the man. And he was going to keep it a year, and let's say he was going to give me, just so we can understand it, say $1,000, he was going to give me $200 if I would lend him $1,000 for a year. And so I waited, and a year went by, and a year and a month went by, and I never heard anything from the man. And so, inasmuch as I, for so long time, had been a child of this world, I wrote the man back. I said, Dear Mr. Green, I have more money to invest. I said, however, if you do not give me proof that I can depend upon you, it's impossible for me to invest more money in your bookstores. In the next mail, the money came back with the interest to it, and Mr. Green has never heard from me since that day. I got my money back. But if I had not had presence of mind to allure him with more money, I would have been surety for a stranger. And afterwards, I heard this, I'll tell you the end of the tale. The man went bankrupt, and he owed thousands and thousands of dollars. And so all those people that thought they were doing a good thing, they've gone surety for a stranger. And what had happened was this, that he had a good idea, but his idea fell through, and they smarted for him. Thousands and thousands of dollars. I came out very well, but I've never sent any money since then to a man who wanted to sell books at a more reasonable price. You see what happens when you're surety for a stranger. All right. Here, it's a surety for a stranger. Let me add this. If you were hungry, you would have to come and say, sign a note for me. Stand behind me so I can get some credit at the grocery store. If you're truly hungry, come. That won't be necessary. I will go and buy you groceries. You understand? You're not a stranger. It's not talking about those things. If you see your brother in need and shut up your compassion from him, how abides the love of God in you? It's not that at all. But you find Christians at times and other people that want things that are unnecessary. A phone call came to me that Preacher Mills, I want to talk to you a little bit. I need hundreds of dollars. I said, what for? He said, I want to get my daughter's teeth straightened. I said, well, you have to go to a credit union if you want that. Not a chance. Praise the Lord. I had strength of mind. Think, you see? But the man said, my child is hungry. I would have given money because I've had other people to come. Let me tell you a tender story. My next door neighbor, they were black people. And even though they drank, and this woman drank so much of the time, I remember she said, Mr. Mills, she said, please lend me some money. She said, my brother and my sister are coming to see me, and I don't have any food in the house to give them. I said, yes, what do you need? And she told me she just wanted to buy a ham and some bread, so she just give them some ham sandwiches, and I was glad to do that. You see the difference? But as she'd come saying that I need my teeth straightened or something like that, not a chance. And so here are not Christian friends, but it says they're strangers. And it says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it may very well be that some unbeliever is setting a proposition before you that sounds so attractive, and then you are putting up all your money. You're going surety to guarantee this business venture. The Bible says you will smart for it. And remember, the Lord Jesus has no mercy. He says if you're foolish enough to get into debt and you're cast into prison, you're not going to come out until you pay the last farthing. Why? Because it was not folly on the Lord's part. It was folly on your part. You got yourself into it. And the Bible says, if you do, you will smart for it. So, to foreknow is to be forewarned. We are not to go surety for strangers. Now, notice it speaks about strangers, but here in chapter 20, look at chapter 20. I want you to see this now. Verse 16, take his garment that is surety for a stranger and hold him in pledge that is surety for foreigners. You see how merciless God's word is? You say, but the Lord is gentle, the Lord is forgiving. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and hold him in pledge that is surety for foreigners. In chapter 27, look at chapter 27. And look at verse 13. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and hold him in pledge that is surety for a foreign woman. You see all the things that God knows about? So here are strangers that make you attractive offers. Here are strangers that have a sad position in their life. And here is a woman, a strange woman, a foreign woman. And it says, if you do go surety for that woman, the Bible says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger. You realize that the Bible forbade a man to take a garment as a pledge from his neighbor. It's this way. If you needed something for food, and you came and said, brother, I will let you keep my garment. Now, please, for this security, let me have a few dollars so I can buy some food, and I gave you that money. The Bible says that when nightfall came and the man came back and wanted his garment, if he didn't have the money, you were to give him his garment back. It says, if not, he will be cold at night, and so it really didn't do any good, but at least he gave his garment for a pledge. But notice, this is the opposite side. That was your brother, who was in genuine need, and he couldn't pay you the money back. And so it says, give him his garment back. But this is what it says when people are foolish in being surety for strangers and for foreign women. It says, take his garment for a pledge who is surety for a stranger and who is surety for a foreign woman. And so, if you have indulged in folly, the Bible says, he that does it, he will smart for it, and God doesn't have any mercy. He lets you learn your lesson by bitter experience, by having to pay off those debts, or by being involved in all the lawsuits and litigation that can take place. If you get involved with foreign women, with strangers, with those who are unbelievers, God tells you about that. And I have to tell you an instance from my own life. When I was going to Bible school ever so many years ago, I taught voice lessons. And I was in a building like this, at the piano, and I was giving Lloyd Allen a voice lesson. And a knock came on the door, and I went back to the door, and he was just poor looking character, and as I recall it, he told me how he had fallen on hard times, and his wife, his sick, his children were hungry, all of that, he said, but if he only had $5, he would have enough to complete his bus fare to get home, some story like that. And I didn't have $5. And so I turned to Lloyd Allen, and I said, Lloyd, do you have $5? He said, yes. I said, will you lend it to me? He said, are you going to pay me back? I said, yes, I will pay you back. And so, I said, give me the money. He said, here it is. And so he gave me the money. And then I gave the money to that stranger. And the stranger went forth with all sorts of assurances that as soon as he got home, he would send me the money in the mail. Well, it's been 40 or 50 years now, and I've never received the money. But a little while later, Lloyd Allen came to me, and he said, you know that $5 I loaned you for that stranger? I said, yes. He said, I want my money. And so I reached in my pocket and gave it to him. I went surety for strangers, and I smarted for it. And at that time, $5 meant a lot more than it does now. And since I brought my family into it, I want to tell you something I learned about my great-great-grandfather. I couldn't learn it from the records, but I learned it from a relative, a cousin, a distant cousin of mine. My great-great-grandfather was John Wilborn, and I would read on the book how he had property, how he was a man that had some degree of money, and it went on this way for years and years, but suddenly at the end of his life, I could never find that property. I could never find what happened to his money. I couldn't find anything that ever happened to him. And it puzzled me. I said, how could this be? And one day I was with a cousin who was descended from his line, who knew about it, and she was telling me about my great-great-grandfather. She said, and these were her words, he went surety for a stranger, and the stranger didn't come through, and his creditors took everything that he had, all his money, all his land, and he died a pauper. And so evidently it was in my family, you see. It's been going on for generations and generations. But thank God, I only have smarted small amounts of money. So this is what God says about not being surety for a stranger. But I want to bring this to your attention, because some people, when they are surety for a stranger, it's because of ignorance, it is because they're taken in. But I want to tell you about one who was surety a stranger, who smarted for it. And his name was Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says in Hebrews 7 that he is surety of a better covenant. The Lord Jesus became surety for us, and God the Father demanded of him all that was essential to ratify that covenant. He required to the last farthing all that the Lord Jesus stood surety for. But it said, Jesus is the surety of a better covenant. And so thank God, he has gone surety for us. He has smarted for us, and we do not have to be smart for it. And so God says to us, let us be practical, let us be intelligent, let us not become surety for a stranger, let us stay above reproach. That is great. Now Father, we are thankful for the things that you taught us through life. You tell us so many things in your word. We are glad that you tell us about heaven, about the tree of life that's there, the river, all the things that are in heaven, that you tell us about earth, and you tell us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, you tell us about our fellow man. So help us not to be unwise, not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And let us be generous and compassionate toward those who are deserving, and at the same time, our Father, let us take our stand and be obedient to thy word, when it comes to things like being sure we walk stranger. Because if we disobey thee, even though it seems hard to disobey thee, we are told it, we look smart for. So we thank you for all these practical instructions. Let us take them to heart and let us obey them, and let us not smart for these disobediences to thy word we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.